Our text for today, it's Job, the last chapter of Job, Job 42, verses 1 through 6. Job 42, verses 1 through 6. If you're physically able to stand, would you stand, please? And I'll read these verses audibly in your hearing, and then we'll ask God's blessing on our time together as we try to ascertain, glean what's here for us, and then make application to our lives. Verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Amen. Our Father, we humbly come to you now and ask you to help us rightly discern what you are saying to us in the Scriptures. Help us to rightly apply it to our lives, and then grant us great grace to order our lives in accordance with your will. For your glory and the good of our own soul and progress of the kingdom, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, our subject is learning from affliction. Learning from affliction. Last week, we considered what Job learned from affliction as it's recorded in James 5. James 5, 10 and 11 teaches us that Job learned that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. He learned that. Didn't mean that he didn't have some sense of it, but everybody, even when you know something, you learn more about it, okay? So God taught Job more about himself. He learned that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Job learned that the Lord is compassionate in that he cares for us. Compassion cares for us in our messy situations. Compassion gets right in there and cares for us when we're helpless. Right? Compassion cares for us when we got nothing to negotiate with. When you got nothing to bring to the table, compassion still reaches out its hand and cares, all right? But he also learned that God is merciful, and mercy forgives you when you have failed. Again, you got nothing to negotiate with when you fail. You just messed up. And God, in his merciful way, forgives you when you're sitting there in your messy situation that you created. Don't we know about that? Assuming even that I was doing right and I found myself wrong, right? You remember the struggle that Paul talks about in Romans 7, the things that I would do? I find myself doing the very thing that I don't want to do. Thank God for mercy. Even when you've committed not to do something, you find yourself failing. Have you done it? Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Mercy. And so Job learned that God was merciful because he forgave him in his failures. All of us would think that we would handle affliction well until it comes. And it's more intense than you thought. And it lasts longer than you thought it would. You're not as strong as you think. It's just like Peter. You remember that? Peter told Jesus, everybody else may deny you, but not me because I'm tough. All of us have that. We don't say it that way. But God has to prove to us that you often think more highly of yourself. Mm-hmm. What? Than you ought to think. Even when you don't tell anybody else, you're still thinking more highly. Mm-hmm. Amen. When you look at other people fail and you assume that never, right? That never happened to me. And so mercy is a great grace from God, a blessing from God to us. And then we finally saw that what the James 5 presents Job as an example of suffering and patience. Now, don't miss this. Job is presented in the Bible as a model of suffering and patience. Job was a wealthy man, but he's not presented in the Bible as a model of wealth. Amen. Job was a healthy man, but he's not presented in the Bible as a model of health for all of the health movement, the health and wealth movement. Job, right, was a family man, but he's not presented in the Bible as a family man. Or he had tremendous accomplishments and accolades, but the Bible does not commend Job for all of those. It commends him for the way he suffered patiently in his affliction. Amen. God does not see as we see. Thank God for that. Amen. Yeah? Oh, is my battery gone again? Oh, I dropped it. Okay. We good? Amen. All right. Keep hitting me up. All right, so here we are. Today, then, with these few verses in Job 42, we're going to see that Job learned more about God and he learned more about himself. All right? Let's dive in real quick. The first thing I notice is that Job had this renewed perspective that God is omnipotent. All right? It's wonderful to be reminded of God's omnipotence. Job was not only reminded, but he was reminded with conviction that God is the creator. God made everything. And God holds everything together, right? You think of this. All of the molecules in that chair and this floor and the whole universe, if God didn't hold it together, it wouldn't be together. All things are from him, through him, and to him. He holds it all together. There wouldn't be a hell if God didn't hold it together.
Come on, brother. Tell it. Tell it.
There is no place that he is not. Now, that's awesome. That's the reason awesome belongs to God. Your car is not awesome. Your house is not awesome. You ain't awesome. God is awesome. Yeah. And he had to convince you. He has to show you that sometimes. You ain't as awesome as you think. But God is. He's the ruler, right, of all of his creation. And so Job then was reminded again with this great conviction that God can do anything and nothing is impossible for him, right? Look at it again. You got your Bible? You see that very first phrase in verse 2? I know that you can do all things. That comes at the end. He's doing a whole lot of fussing and complaining along the way, but when it's all said and done, Job says, Lord, I've been thinking wrong. Right? Now that I'm thinking right, I can speak right. And what I got to say now is I ain't got all this fussing about what I want to get an audience with you and blah, blah. All that I want to say to you, Lord, is I know you can do anything.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Amen.
You need to know that. That's a wonderful blessing. Amen. To learn more about God in your problem. In your problem. He brings you to the point to where you see God can do anything. And oftentimes it's because you have exhausted all of your other, what, efforts, right? God can do anything. As Matthew 19, nothing. Things impossible for me, with men, or what? Possible with God, because nothing will be impossible for God. Hallelujah. Thank God for that, and I hope you get it right now. And I want to remind you, I thought about this morning. Job is making this confession, and nothing's changed. His life is still a mess, and he's still saying, God can do anything. He may not fix this right. That's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whether God spares my life, I know he can. I know he's able.
I know he's able, and so I'm not going to bow down to this situation because I know what God can do. And if he doesn't bring me out, it's because he wanted me to stay in there.
Amen.
If the grave can't hold Jesus, Amen. If death can't hold him, and I shouldn't say if, it can't. It can't hold him. He already proved to you that the worst that the world can do, he's taken the sting out of it.
Amen.
Taken away the fear of death. Amen. Right? Why? So we can be free.
Yeah.
The worst that the world and the devil can bring to you is the fear of death. Mm-hmm. And you can say, death, oh death. Where'd you, huh?
Yeah.
Where's your victory?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gone.
Uh-huh.
You see it? And so this brother here is not afraid of his circumstance. And God has to bring every one of us to that point. When you don't know how it's going to turn out. But I'm not afraid. How did David say it? Even though I what? Walk through the valley of what? The shadow of death. I what? Fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Never alone. Even in your affliction, God says, I'm what? I'm in it with you. You it's late at night, you're hurting, you think nobody's here, nobody to talk to, you're wrong. That's the reason God isolated you. So you can what? Talk to him. You've been talking to too many folks. Yeah. Including your doctor, and I'm not against doctors. But God wants you to know all of your help, what? It comes from the Lord. Because he can do what? Anything. Anything. You got this? So he learned that God was omnipotent. The other thing he learned is that God has purpose, right? Job had been reminded with conviction that God has a divine purpose for everything he does. Every action he takes has purpose. God is not... And it's sad to hear Christians use the word luck. What does that mean? How can luck be on your lips?
Uh-huh.
Don't you dare call anybody lucky. How can they be lucky if God is ruling everything?
Well,
don't you dare attribute anything in your life to luck.
Amen.
God says, I love you and I'm taking care of you.
Amen.
Nothing will happen to you that doesn't pass through God.
Amen.
Nothing. Why? Because he's running everything, including the devil, the world. He's running everything.
Yeah?
And you have to learn that through some trials and some tests. But I assure you, he's going to teach us. Yeah? And he's going to show you that there's a purpose for everything you're going through. Everything. Everything. That's the only way he can cause what?
All
things to, huh? Work together for good. There's got to be a purpose for what?
Amen.
All things. Yeah?
Amen.
Now, just because you don't understand it. You see, that's the problem with us. We want to understand it. And that's the reason God says, trust in the Lord what? With all your heart and stop. And he don't say stop trying to figure it out, but you know what? Don't lean to your understanding because your understanding is weak. That's what Job had to learn. His understanding was way too shallow. We're going to get to that in a minute. But purpose. God has a purpose in everything that he does. And because God is omnipotent, you see, all of his plans and all of his purposes are going to be accomplished. Y'all remember that great word in Isaiah there? I am God and there is no other. I'm God and there's no one like me, declaring what? The end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying all of my purpose shall be accomplished. He's going to do it. Anything he plans to do, God does it. Why? Because he's omnipotent. The only way anything would not be done is somebody have to be stronger than God. Right? You need to know that. Some of us have some really difficult circumstances. But if you exalt that thing too high, you're going to find yourself struggling. God is in control of anything you're going through. Yeah, yes, he is. And there's a purpose. You may have to wait longer than you want it.
Yeah.
But wait on him. There's a purpose that he's working out. We good?
Yeah.
So that's what he learned about God. And then we want to look quickly then at what he learned about himself. The one thing that Job learned about himself is that he had unwise thoughts and words. Okay? Unwise thoughts and words. What I noticed this. People often reach wrong conclusions when they're in affliction, don't they? I shouldn't say they. Don't we? don't we, brother, sister? We often reach wrong conclusions when we're going through something, particularly when it's severe. You see, we can handle the little, we think we can. We can handle the little stuff, the little nagging stuff. But I'm talking about the tough, the really difficult things. We begin to reach wrong conclusions. And we find ourselves with regretful thoughts and regretful words. Things that we wish we hadn't thought and things we wish we hadn't said. That's what we're saying here with Job, all right? Many times, listen to me on this one. Many times, we find ourselves trying to remove or fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when you're hurting, what do you want? You want some relief.
Yeah.
Now, don't get super spiritual on me. That's all of it. When you hurt, yeah. You want what? Yeah. We want yeah. some relief.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, what? Agonized, and he says, Father, what? If what? Possible, take away the cup. Why? Nobody, no real sadistic person just loves pain. No. But he said, he resigned himself to say what? Not my will. And so you see, God wants you to be real with him. None of us revel in pain. But he eventually wants you to pray yourself through it to where you can say the same thing. Not what? Not my will, but yours. Yes? But you see here, many times we find ourselves trying to and asking God to change or remove a hardship that we don't even understand. All that you know is you're hurting, and you don't even understand why. That's okay. God understands it. Paul had a thorn, right? And he prayed because it was painful. But God helped him what? Understand. He didn't necessarily understand the whole situation.
Yeah.
He understood that it came from God.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, you're going to have that the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to know that? So I can stop praying about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Amen.
I stop. And then he said, I can rejoice.
Yeah.
I rejoice then. If you're not going to take it away because God has told you, you need that. He comes to Willie. He comes to you, wherever you are. All of us have things in our life that keep us humble. That's what he told Paul. That thorn is what keeps you humble. Keeps you from thinking more what? Highly of yourself than you ought to. Every one of us needs it. You say, well, I'm a humble person. You're arrogant right there. To think that you're humble is what? It's arrogance. All right? And so we find ourselves trying to fix, change hardships that we don't understand. Look at verse 3. You got it? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. That's what we wind up doing. When you get to, you call yourself praying to God, and I say you, all of us, there are times that we're praying with God, or praying to him, and really all that we're saying to God is, Lord, I want you to fix this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's okay. That's That's human experience, because God wants you to pray through that to where you can get to say, not my will. Now, God wants you to express your will, but he wants you to reach the point to where you will say, not what? My will, but yours be done. All right? The other thing you'll notice is that it's God himself who has to humble a believer while we're in pain and suffering. God himself gets in there with us, and he stops us from complaining about it. He stops us from asking him to fix it. Only God can do that. Amen. Only God can get in there with you to see that I'll help you get through this. Eventually, for you and me, every one of us has to see his grace is what? It is sufficient. You say, well, I know that verse. The Bible didn't want you to just know the verse. He wants you to know what? His grace is sufficient. And the only way you're going to know his grace is sufficient, you got to be running up against something what? Well, you need his grace. You got it? Amen. Folks say, I've been praying for patience. You don't have to pray for patience.
Well,
just live. The Bible never tells you to pray for patience, does it? The Bible simply says, be what? Be patient. Because if you're a Christian, you got it, right? He's there. The Holy Spirit's there. He brings what? Love, joy, huh? Peace, and what? Patience. He's there. And so all he says is, do it. Will it stop fussing about it? Just be patient. Well, I have trouble with these people. Everybody. But the Holy Spirit says, you can do this. You say, well, I can't. I'm an impatient person. Did God ask you what you were?
Well,
maybe think about it. We love to talk about what we are. I'm this. I'm a weary person. I'm a this. God isn't asking you what you are. He's telling you what you need to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
the Holy Spirit's in you, and he enables you to be what you need to be. If you stop talking about what you are. Well, if you really want to talk about what you are, anyone in Christ is what? A new creation. You keep talking about the what? The old one. God is not interested in the old one. That's the reason he saves you. He has made you what? New. You getting this? Yeah. And so we see how God then humbles us to where we will stop questioning him. You see that in verse 4? This is God speaking. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. You see, since Job is pretending that he's got all the answers, y'all remember how he was throughout the book? If I could just get an audience with God, if I could just explain my situation, and that's where we are when we're struggling. We feel like God just not hearing my prayer. I just need, if I could say it different, if God hears all that. God knows your prayer for you even what? Speak it out of your mouth. He knows the words before they ever reach your tongue, right? And so that's not the issue. But he wants you to get to the point to where you will stop questioning whether he cares for you. God's care doesn't change for you because you're hurting. He can't care for you any less. Why? Because his care is perfect. He can't love you any less. Why? Because his love is what?
Perfect.
You can't improve upon it. And he can't diminish it because his love is what? It's perfect. God loves you perfectly. He cares for you perfectly. Just because you don't understand it, don't question him. Mm-hmm. And he has to bring every one of us to that point to where you will stop questioning. Just like the disciples, does God love me? Mm-hmm. Why we say that? Because I look at so-and-so. And I don't think I'm that bad. I ain't that much worse than they are. Why? You see? Why me? You remember Jesus had to tell Peter that? Because God had told Peter what was going to happen to him. Well, what's going to happen to John? Peter, ain't your business what's going to happen to John.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I mean, just think about it. You know, we may not talk about it, but you constantly looking around. Mm-hmm. Why am I struggling so much? And you don't just compare yourself to heathens. Now, we're just being real here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And that's the reason Paul had to write to the church at Corinth and say, why are you comparing yourselves with yourself?
Yeah.
Ain't none of y'all the standard.
Well,
right?
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Jesus is the standard, and everybody's falling short. in that regard. Yeah? Even when it comes to suffering. Even when you think you've suffered so bad. The Bible is clear. Have you suffered to the shedding of blood? Every one of us in this room would have to say, no. Not for righteousness' sake. Okay? So, this is one of the things he learned about himself, is that he had unwise thoughts and words. And then finally, Job learns that he has what I call a limited view of God. Here's what I want you to see here. Severe tests and afflictions actually test the quality of our faith. You see? Some of us talk a good game. But that's because your bank account's good. Yeah, you're a tower of faith, as long as that 501k looking good, you know, job security, you're a towering Christian. Mighty soldier for the Lord, long as you're healthy and, you know, the arthritis ain't there and the gout ain't set in and, you know, would you let that arthritis hit you for a little bit? we've been a little bit sarcastic, but the fact is none of us are as strong and mighty as we think. Amen. Right? And so severe tests, though, really come to check out what you're made out of.
Amen.
And that's the reason God said, have you considered what? My servant Job.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's no way God obviously knew Job wasn't perfect, but he knew what was in him.
Amen.
And God knows what's in you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You don't know how much you can handle.
Uh-huh.
You think you do.
Amen.
And you think I'm on to my last straw. I'm at the end of my rope until God show you got some more rope. And
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's the point. Is that you don't know what the end of your rope is. Right?
Amen.
And so God is showing you that I got more grace than you think.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at you. God wants you to look at what? At him.
Amen.
He's got a whole lot more grace than you think he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's willing to give it to you. Yeah?
Amen.
And so he had this limited view of God. Afflictions force us, and I want you to get these last 2 points. Afflictions force us to apply what we've learned about God. You see, we sit here in Bible study, and you listen to me preach, and you got your CDs, and you blah, 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 and you got a whole lot of stuff going on in your head. But you see, affliction takes it out of your head and shows you whether you really learned it or not. It's like going to a seminar, and you sit there and your eyes buck because this is, you ain't never heard nothing like this. And then you got to go back to the real world, right? That'll help you know whether you learned it or not, or whether you're just awestruck with it, right? And a lot of us are just awestruck Christians. You got all these verses memorized, and you living for the glory of God, and on and on and on. But God is determined to make you know whether you've learned it or not.
Amen.
You don't know that you've learned it until you got to use it.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
And life situations force you to use,
Amen.
Or life situations show you what you have actually learned.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Affliction speaks very loud about you and God. You getting this? That's what I want you to see. You see verse 5 there? I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. That's what happened a lot of our Bible study. You come in, didn't we have a good class today? And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you see how he ends that, right? I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but what? Now my eye sees. That's the deal right there. God wants you to see, not just hear it from me and other people. He wants you to see it. You see, it's one thing for you to say, well, God, look at Job. Job says God is good. Well, God wants you to know that he is good. Even when you don't get everything you want, God is what? He's still good. Even when the bottom falls out of your life, he's what? He's still good. And you won't know it unless the bottom falls out of yours. You see, you can hear me talk about it all you want. And you can be encouraged by that. But you'll never learn it just by listening to me. Right? You sit and teach your child 2 + 2 = 4. And nine. But see, they learn it when they go to the store. And you gave them a dollar. And they put it up there. And they were supposed to know how to count. But you learn that they didn't learn it if they come back with what? With the wrong change. See, I don't want you just to know the theory. I want you to put it into practice. Amen. Got it? Amen. God's a good father. Amen. And he's raising up some children that know. You need to know what you know. Amen. You getting this? Yeah. And then finally, not only do afflictions force us to apply what we've learned about God and ourselves through personal experience, true repentance comes from true knowledge of God and ourselves. And let me read this and let me tell you why I say that. You see verse 6? Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And you see, he says that because of verse 5. Because I have come to know more about myself. I've come to apply those scriptures to God and myself. Now I can say I'm wrong. I was wrong in my thinking. I was wrong in what I said, and I repent. Repent means to what? Change. I think just the opposite of the way that I used to think, right? Why? Because I have learned through experience that I was talking what I did not know. You see, you quoting me is not going to benefit you. Amen. I want to go further. If you're simply quoting the Bible, that's not going to benefit you. You need to know Amen. That what you're saying is what? True. Yeah. That way people will know, just like with Jesus, that man, that woman is speaking with authority. You need to know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Amen. Not just because I'm not the authority here. You're not the authority. Mm-hmm. But when you know that God means what he says and says what he means, when you say it, you can mean what you say and say what you mean. Amen. Yes? And so here you find that Job is repenting because true knowledge has driven him to true repentance. You've been very patient. So then let's think about this as we close. Affliction reveals what we truly know about ourselves and God. Affliction reveals our weaknesses, and it reveals God's omniscience, right? Omnipotence. We are weak, but he is strong. We are weak, but he is almighty. He is one of his names is what? The Almighty God. He is. Afflictions reveal our vain plans. All of us have plans. All of us. Everybody in this room has plans. Whether they are short-term, long-term, whatever they are, you do not live without plans. Right? But then God shows us through affliction how many of those plans are vain. Think about how many of your future plans are important when you are really sick. Are you thinking about the vacation when you don't know if you're going to make it through? You see? So he shows us how our vain plans can drive us when we ought to be asking him about his plan. Right? Affliction reveals our vain plans and God's divine plan and purpose. Affliction then will lead us to repentance, will lead us to true confession and true humility. So I say to every one of us, don't run from your affliction. God is really working purpose in there. And in you is something that you need to repent of. In you, in me, Affliction brings it to the surface to show what's still there, doesn't it? Affliction brings to the surface so that you can, the Bible calls the Word of God a what? A mirror. And God brings that to the surface and says, Willie, look at it. You just thought it. You just said it. You just did it. Don't blame God. Don't blame the person that even brought the pressure. You said it. You did it. You thought it. Own it! And then it brings what? Conviction, repentance, and what? Confession. And out of that comes humility, because I no longer think more highly myself than I ought to think. Where did it start? With affliction. All of us need to take a different perspective on affliction. Because God is in control of it. God is working for His glory. And what? And for our good. Yeah, He is. So why would anyone contend with or doubt God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent? You say, well, that you'd have to be insane to do that. That's right. Anytime you doubt God, you're insane. And all of us have brief moments of insanity. No one would ever sin if you didn't have brief moments of insanity. We all do. And what we want is to have less, right? Less moments of that brief insanity. Hallelujah. That's how we know we're growing. That's how we're growing. Job teaches us to humble ourselves under the mighty power of God in our afflictions. Teaches us not to doubt God's purpose for good. Teaches us not to question God, and it teaches us to learn more about Him, His love, His mercy, His grace, His compassion. He really does care for us. And if you go on to take your affliction through to the end, you'll find this to be true. What you'll learn about God is going to be wonderful. Also, what you will learn about yourself, stop trying to shortcut it. Take it. That's what James 1 says, right? Let endurance have its perfect result. Go all the way through the trial. On the other side, you come out perfect, complete what? Lacking in nothing. Thus says the Lord. Yes, sir?
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you haven't truly repented. You might say, well, I go to church and I read my Bible. No, that's not what we're talking about. Repentance is a complete change of mind and heart. If you're not a Christian, I would ask you today to truly repent and come to Jesus without reservation. No stipulations, no talking about your age or your education or your any of that. Come to Jesus just like you are, and He will receive you, and you will be saved. Father, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we had together today. Thank you for the life of this great saint, and thank you for the way you handled him while he hurt. We're so thankful that not only did Job learn that you were compassionate and merciful, that You intend for every one of us as your children to learn that you are likewise compassionate and merciful. We want to learn more about you as we experience life circumstances. We want to learn more about ourselves. We want to think right, speak right, and do right for your glory. Would you, Lord, would you draw someone to yourself today with the mighty power of conversion? Would you save a soul today for your glory? One that has been thinking wrong or speaking wrong or doing wrong. Today, Lord, would you just bring them into your very presence and help them to know that Jesus is here and Jesus saves. Save for your glory. We ask this in your name. Amen.